Welcome to the Improv in Practice podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Wilson, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on improvised theater with Synergy Theater. You can find Synergy Theater's classes, workshops, performances, and more at synergytheater.com. That's S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y theater.com. Okay, lights down, curtain up. Hello, friends. I'm keeping the intro short. We have two back-to-back interviews for you. Why two? Well, we have a lot to talk about in the run-up to the first annual Diablo Improv Festival, October 24th through the 26th, 2025, at the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek. First up, we have Kat Coppett of MopGo Theater. We talk about how Kat will use her wealth of improv experience and ideas from her book, Training to Imagine, as a seminar host and performer at the festival. Then we have Della Watson of DKW Productions, a festival co-producer. We talk about Della's inspirations and hopes for the festival. Keep this website in mind as you listen to the interviews, diabloimprovfestival.org. By the end of this episode, I bet that you'll want to give it a visit. Okay, on to the interviews. Kat Coppett and Valerie Jord, thank you so much for joining today. Kat Coppett, from where I'm sitting, I can turn and I can see my copy of Training to Imagine. You are a writer, director, author, teacher, coach. I think that I'm probably forgetting one or two other things. And the Diablo Improv Festival, which is happening October 24th. It's a weekend. Kat will be there, Val, as you know. And Kat will be teaching. Kat, will you please jump in?
Hello.
Hello. Kat will be teaching a Training to Imagine type session. Please fill us in.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I was a Bay Area resident for many years. I am a huge fan of Synergy Theater, which is a co-sponsor of the festival. And I've been a longtime friend and colleague of Ken Adams, their artistic director. I've met a bunch of folks out there during COVID. We got to play and improvise together. I guess one of the things you forgot is performer.
Oh, gosh, how could I forget performer?
Sometimes I forget it, too. But
Performer extraordinaire.
Yeah, I'm still doing it after all these years. And so I'm super excited to have an excuse to come and play in person with everyone.
So how did they entice you to join the Diablo Improv Festival?
Well, it's just the most brilliant, talented, inspiring teachers and mentors and performers that I know on this planet. We have our own improv theater here on the East Coast in upstate New York called the MopGo Improv Theater. Ken Adams and I met and performed for many years with Freestyle Repertory Theater in New York City. And then when Ken moved out to California, I moved back to the East Coast. So we stopped being able to play together. So any chance to play with Ken and Synergy and learn from one of my great mentors, I'm in. There are also folks from Bats Improv who were colleagues of mine and mentors and inspirations who will be teaching there. Regina Saizi among them.
Is this kind of a reunion?
Well, in my head and heart, it is. I'm not sure how the other people feel. I think a lot of folks are from the region. It's such a rich improv community that I think there's plenty to pull from without having to get us folks who are traveling from the East Coast. But I'm getting to bring a few of my friends and playmates here at the MopGo to come perform a format there, as well as teaching about how to apply improv in non-performatory settings. So I hope that all my friends from all over the world will become reconnected. Yeah.
Now, Synergy Theater director Ken Adams and you have been friends for a long, long time, and you're very close. When was the last time the two of you performed together in person?
Oh, well, see, the in person makes it much, much longer. Mm-hmm. As I say, during COVID, I was incredibly thrilled to be performing with Synergy online and a lot of those amazing formats, which people can probably still find. But I guess the last time we performed in person together was maybe the mid-90s with Freestyle Rep.
Do you remember the premise of
The
where you?
shows? Well, one of them, I can't say I remember the very last show we performed in together because I doubt that either of us knew it was the very last show that we would perform together for 30 years. But one of the shows that was happening at that time, which was a great joy, was a show called Spontaneous Broadway, which is an improv musical format. Back before there were a lot of them, there are a lot of them now, but it was sort of the original format where the first act was short form. And the second act was long form. And the way I specifically created it, because we had a company at Freestyle Rep, very much influenced by Ken, that had practiced doing long form plays, like real narrative long form improv. And we had musicians and people who were lovers of musical theater. So I created a format where the first act was set up like a backers audition, and each of the singers got song titles from an audience, but then set it up as if it was a song from a potential musical that had already been written and that we were looking for investors for. And then the audience votes after the first act on which song and premise they like best. And then we do that in the second act, complete with costumes and sets and a reprise of the song from the first act. So it was sort of a tour de force that more people do that format now, including Mopco, but that original group of folks had special skills that made us have the hubris to try to do it. And Ken was the original producer character named Kip Tipling, who would MC the first act of presenting all the songs.
That sounds fantastic. Oh, to be there in that audience.
It was
Oh
great.
my gosh. Yes, that would be amazing. Now, I did go ahead and get my tickets for the Diablo Improv Festival on October 24th to the 26th, and I would like to talk more about your session. And again, is this based on your book, Training to Imagine?
It is indeed. The book Training to Imagine, I'll just take the opportunity to say, is coming out in its third edition this
Oh,
fall.
wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you. It was just acquired by Rutledge Press, so it'll be available, and it's already the textbook in a lot of universities. I hope that will continue given Rutledge's focus. So I've revisited it, and in the meantime, I wrote a book on facilitation skills for leaders, really for anyone who wants to do anything. And so this course will, I mean, it's only 90 minutes, but it'll be the very best cherry-picked insights and tools that I have for what we've said, applying the principles and mindsets and activities of improvisational theater in other developmental contexts, like leadership development, team building, coaching sessions, life skills, anything that isn't about with the goal of being a performer on a stage.
And how do you hope to influence who you hope to reach?
So it seems like there are two main audiences for the book. One that I thought I was writing the book for, which are professional trainers, instructional designers, facilitators, leaders inside organizations who are interested in harnessing the power of improvisation just to up their own skills and the skills of the people they're supporting with improv, right? So anyone who is a trainer or facilitator who wants to be better at that and or figure out how do I teach better listening skills or influencing skills or collaboration and creativity skills. That's who I thought I was writing for, and that's an audience, and I hope those people will come. The other audience that I seem to have developed are performing improvisers or people who've discovered improv in classes and have the same revelation that I had many years ago, which is that, oh, improv is really good for any kind of human skill building, right? All of the things that make us more effective interpersonally and creatively in any context are the skills that improvisers work on. And so there are a lot of improvisers who say, I'm doing this on stage. I'm taking classes about this as a performance art, but I think I can translate this or transfer it to other contexts. That's really what we'll be talking about. You're familiar with improv as performance art. What do you need to do, or how do you need to articulate it or frame it so that you can spread those skills other places?
Wonderful. I can't count the number of times where I have talked to another improviser and said to them, I use these skills every day and especially at work. Because when you are at work or on a job, you are on a stage. It's a performance. What I took from your book, Training to Imagine, was I really like how you go at this in a way that removes the stage fright or fear of being more of yourself, but in a professional sense, bringing more of your creativity to the work stage and channeling it in a way that will make you more successful, more relatable to your coworkers, and I think more visionary. Can you speak to that? Was it a conscious decision that you made? And also, your tone throughout the book is so encouraging. And could you speak more to that? How did you remove the fear from work performance?
I'll say this. I have a colleague, one of the founders of the Applied Improvisation Network, which is our professional association for folks who do this applied improv work, and there are thousands of us now around the world, Paul Z. Jackson. And he and I were talking a few years ago, and we said, in some ways, it's backwards. As you said, we're all improvising all the time, right? These skills are much more universal than just performance skills. And so maybe it's that performance improv is applying these skills and tools to a stage, right? To a performance setting where we've decided we're going to often create comedy or create theater or play characters or put ourselves on a stage and have people buy tickets and then say, we're going to be entertaining you. That's really just one application of these skills. And what I was trying to do in the book was offer folks a way into understanding the principles and mindsets of the improviser, and then a whole bunch of activities with little facilitator guides to enact that, where the value of the work was really framed as not about just being entertaining on a stage, certainly not just creating comedy, right? Because that is a very specific performance application. But if your goal at work is to build trust or support creativity or align groups of people to be able to collaborate more effectively, those are all things that performance improvisers think about consciously, but they're by no means only something that you need to do on a stage. And so maybe the answer to your question is, I think that whether it's fear or some other resistance to doing improv in a workplace, I think those things mostly come from people not feeling that it's relevant and that they're going to be made to look stupid or they're going to be wasting their time. So what I do in the book is say, here's why this matters to you, here's why you care about it, and then here's some easy ways in. I have one other thought as I talk, which is I think that fear that you're talking about is one of the main things that improvisers work on in any context. Certainly Keith Johnstone talks a lot about the only thing that we're trying to do in any of his developmental work is overcome our fear so that we can be our most present, creative, authentic selves. In his case, on a performing stage, but I really think in any case. So all of improv is about helping us overcome that fear, including embracing the fear and doing it anyway, right? And
Yes.
being willing to fail and celebrate that failure and look at it as a gift and be foolish or boring or obvious or all of those things.
Yes. Now, Val, I know that you are a project manager, right? That's your day job. What, and I know that there must be several things that Kat has said that have resonated with you as far as applying that to your day-to-day work. What things are popping out at you?
Mainly that it's like any muscle that you exercise. Just the more you do it, the better you get. I mean, that just sounds obvious, but not that I have a lot of experience, but just watching people who continually do it, I've seen so many hundreds of shows by now since 2018. And I'm just touched by the people who have the grit to keep showing up and just say, oh, well, that wasn't great, but the next scene will be better the next minute. That's just how life is. You're living it by seconds, minutes. And I'm really curious your thoughts, Kat, on the future of improv.
Ah, that's a big question. First of all, I have to say, I love that you just said these are muscles that we exercise. One of our taglines is improv is the gym for whatever, for listening, for awareness, for collaboration, for building trust, for connecting with others, for generating ideas. I love that. I think that all of those muscles that we exercise as improvisers, making our partners look good is another one, accepting and building with what exists. Co-creating narratives. These are, in fact, the most, it's always been true, but it's especially true now. These are critical skills that we individually and collectively are going to need to bring to whatever comes next. Because whatever assumptions most of us had for the last 80 years, 75 years of what we could count on, what we thought was true, what we all shared as narrative values. I think all of it is a little bit in chaos right now, and the ability to be flexible and adaptive and collaborative and responsive and resilient will be muscles we should all be exercising.
Yes, absolutely. What you're saying is resonating with me as we are living in this super modern world right now where the virtual is more and more being presented as just as good as the actual, real or intangible. The virtual is just as good as is the vibe that I'm getting. I don't agree. I appreciate so much that this event in October, the Diablo Improv Festival at the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek, October 24th to the 26th is going to be in person, and that everything that you will experience there, absorb there, see there will help you in your actual physical, tangible, day-to-day life, the in-person skills. That's where it's going to benefit you. I value improvising, taking classes, working this muscle, as Val said. I think that this is even more important to me now in my midlife than ever before because of what is going on, Kat, because of what you are saying. To build on Val's question about the future of improv, I think this is so important. More improvisers, more classes, more festivals, more people coming together and flexing this muscle. Kat, how can we do this?
I don't think we have to do much. I think improv is really contagious, and people experience it and they want it, and they want to do it and they want to do more of it. For better or worse, many of us have had our whole lives subsumed by this activity. So I think all we really need to do is make it available and spread the word, and it will continue to spread. I don't think there's a town, certainly in the US, probably in most places in the world, that doesn't have some kind of improv happening in it. To build on your thought about in person, for the last couple of decades, I've spent half of my time or more doing applied improvisation in organizations, training, coaching, facilitating. And my partner and I, my husband and I, also run an in-person improv theater. We bought an old strip club and turned it into an improv theater. We have been doing classes and shows every weekend. And I thought that at some point that would go away because it wasn't a good way to make money running an improv theater, and corporations had money and big organizations, and that was the shiny work. And now, as we sort of look around the next corner, I feel like having a local in-person space where people come to be together in community and do this work live in person is, as you say, more important than ever. And we're doubling down on that part of our lives and our practice. So
Wonderful. Now, I thought that the reason why your performance theater had a pole was because it was a former firehouse.
It was, in fact, a former firehouse turned strip club,
Ah.
turned improv theater. So there are two different kinds of poles.
Okay.
And we learned a lot about poles. They are very different, fire poles and stripper poles.
It sounds like a wonderful space. I would love, love, love to see a performance there. Now, this weekend that's coming up, what do you hope to take away from the Diablo Improv Festival?
Well, I get to see a lot of old friends, as I said. I'm going to get to take some workshops from people that I know are brilliant teachers and new folks. So I'm always still a student. I'm really looking forward to that. And there's going to be some amazing performances, a whole slew of different great folks like Synergy and others. And I get to share, as I think I mentioned, a show that I'm doing with some of my MUPCO colleagues called Book Club, which is an improvised book club. So I'm very excited to share that as well.
Oh, can you speak more about that? That sounds really
Yeah,
good.
it's a long form narrative, one act format that we do where we have established serial characters that we've developed who have this book club. And we get a title of a made up book from the audience and a genre. And then we do a little play based on the book club meeting session of that made up book.
I'm
Oh my goodness.
intrigued.
It's super fun. I'm hesitant to say what I'm about to say because it sets the bar high and then maybe we have to succeed at this. But our sort of secret mission is to have the themes of the book and the themes of the relationships between the characters align, and we'll read segments of the book. We're obviously improvising, right? So we read from the book and we talk about what are the themes in the book, and we try to have those echo or play against the themes between the characters and the relationships. So that's the game of it.
Right. Well, you make it sound simple, but I know that it's anything but. Okay, so you'll see old friends, you'll be able to bring this premise to the stage and perform it with some of your co-performers who happen to be, sounds like, your best friends, and have a fantastic time reaching out to an audience that you know you can do good for. What else?
I'm assuming we're going to have good food and drink and
Okay.
conversation.
Yes.
I'm assuming the weather will be perfect because it always is in the Bay Area.
It is incredible today, I don't mind saying.
Yeah, so food, fun, friends, learning, inspiration, sharing, performing. I think there's a jam where we're going to get to cross-pollinate and perform with each other.
I'm just
Yeah.
going to bring a sleeping bag.
No reason to leave at all for the entire weekend.
Exactly. Val, what are you looking forward to?
The fact that it's also going to be Halloween week. So I'm
Oh-ho.
wondering how many people might even show up in costume. Like, just go for it. It's a whole weekend of theater and costuming and who knows what. Sounds like anything can happen.
Well, I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it. I have spoken to you before, Kat, and we have emailed, but I've never had the chance to meet you in person. So I'm hoping to do that, and I'm really looking forward to that. And Val, I'm guessing two of Kat's friends for our next interviews for the Improv Festival. Can you give me those names?
I reached out to Diana and then Della, of course, Della Watson, DKW Productions.
Wonderful. And Kat, what have we not touched on that you would like to talk about?
As I say, pretty much in any city, anywhere in the world, you can find some kind of improv. When people spend the time and energy and effort, and it's a lot to put together festivals like this, it's always very exciting and special, not just for improvisers who might want to come and study and see shows, but also the general public. You know, you get to have so many riches all in one place, and it's like going to a Shakespeare festival. You get to see all the different flavors of what it is to be there, and I think there'll be some kids improvising as well. So if any of your listeners are not yet improvisers, but want to bask in and explore the art form, this is a chance to do that.
That is a great note because I can imagine what it would be like if you were always curious about improv, you never dipped your toe in yet. This would be the perfect opportunity to really see many of the facets of improv all in one place. Kat, thank you again so much. And Val, you too. And Kat, I hope we connect in the future. You're always up to something interesting. And we're, again, it's an honor to talk with you.
And you as well. I look forward to meeting. I'm sure we'll see each other.
Val, do you have
Thank you,
anything?
Sarah.
Yeah, of course. And Val, did you have any questions for Kat? You've got her attention now.
No, I'm just looking forward to seeing her in October and
Okay.
everyone
Yes.
else. Very, very excited for this event.
Awesome.
Yes.
Me too. Thanks,
Okay.
Val. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Della Watson and
Hi.
Val, thank you for being here today. Welcome to another exciting episode of Improv in Practice. And on this episode, we get a very special guest. I'm very excited about Della Watson, event producer extraordinaire, journalist, improviser. I could go on and on, but that's what Della is here to do.
Hi.
Do you mind if we start with how you became involved in the Diablo Improv Festival, which is coming up here in October, October 24th to the 26th? Do I have my tickets? Oh, yes. Yes, I do. I got a package and I
Yes.
can't wait. Della, please
Yeah, I
tell
cannot
us.
be. Okay, yes, I got involved with this festival after working with Ken Adams from Synergy Theater. We had collaborated on a show that my company, DKW Productions, put on, a show called Murder at the Winery, which is an immersive murder mystery dinner theater experience, totally improvised. And Ken was the director of the show, and many of the Synergy Theater actors were performers. So we had a fabulous time doing that. We hope to do it again next year. Soon after that, Ken came to me and said, "Hey, I'm talking with these folks about doing an improv festival. Would you like to be involved in that?" And I was like, "Yes, and of course." It sounded like a big project, which is always exciting to me. Something new, something different, building something from scratch. I love that. So yeah, I was like, "Sure, I'll take a meeting. Let's start talking and brainstorming." Close to a year ago, I think, we really started just talking about it.
Tell us more about your background in improvising.
If we want to go way back, I think that I was sort of always raised as an improviser. My family, we have a saying that there's never a disaster or a calamity, only an adventure. My dad, he liked to sneak into places. He liked to get discount tickets or get into the section of the parking lot he wasn't supposed to park in, or go into a conference that he didn't belong in and pretend he belonged there. And so we were always, my brother and I, he would be like, "Okay, you're 4 years old." And we would just instantly jump into character and like, "Yes, we are 4 years old. We get 50% off ice cream." We always had this fun spirit of adventure with my family, where we had these like very eccentric things that we would get into. We were always poaching someone's fishing dock and hanging out there and just waiting and seeing, are they going to kick us off? I don't know. We'll hang out here until then. And if they come, we'll make up a fun story about it. So, at a very young age, I was taught to roll with things in a fun way, in a good way. We were always having fun. Well, I mean, sometimes our boat was sinking and it was like a little bit dangerous, but we always came out on the good side of things. At that time, I was always doing like little plays and performances for my family. I wrote my first play that was produced in fourth grade. I somehow convinced my teacher to let us put it on. I somehow convinced my class, most of my classmates, to stay in during recess and practice it. And then my teacher set up a performance for us to put it on for the other grades, the second graders, different things like that, where was always like, "Yeah, let's just try it. Let's just do it." And luckily, I did have a lot of people in my life early on who encouraged me and who inspired me to have this attitude towards life of playfulness and creativity. And then I followed my creative path through a very meandering way. I ended up doing my MFA in Chicago, the School of Art Institute of Chicago. That's a great comedy town. I put on a variety show there with some friends.
twice a month. We had comedy, we had poetry, we had songwriting, we had puppet shows, we had everything. It was zany and fun. And then in school, I was studying writing, playwriting, performance art, theater, bookmaking. Fast forward to Berkeley. I started improv here at Berkeley Improv, started taking classes, and that is how I met Arastu, who introduced me to Ken, who introduced me to this festival. That's a long-winded way of saying it's always been a part of me, and I've been lucky over the years to meet some really great people who helped me see even bigger and better ways to explore it.
Okay, Della, what I'm pulling from that is you're obviously put on this earth to make it better and more creative and to connect people in unexpected ways. Now, given your background in loving and being raised to love spontaneity and creativity, how are you bringing that to what you're doing and how you are organizing the Diablo Improv Festival?
Thank you for saying that. I think I do feel that I try to live that way. I do try to make things that connect communities, that spread joy. When we were thinking about the festival, we thought about a lot about who is in this community and how can we serve different members of the community and have them come together. So part of that was making sure we address different age groups and different mobility levels, different backgrounds. We have classes for everyone, beginners. Some, if you've been in improv for a long time, or if you're just curious, we've got something for you. That's one of the ways. Right now, I'm focused on, okay, putting myself in the position of someone coming to this festival. Like, how can I have fun? How can I ensure that the people who come to the festival have fun and make connections and feel comfortable there and feel alive?
It sounds to me like you and Val should hang out because Val is, she's very low key, never talks about herself except when I pry it out of her. Val has a tattoo of the highway, Interstate Highway 1 on her arm. Sorry, Val, but yeah.
Oh, Val. That's
And
true.
Val has stories. Val, what about what Della is saying is resonating with you?
Oh, I'm just really excited that this is happening at Lesher. I respect Lesher and all the shows they produce and the variety, but they were always missing something. I couldn't put my finger on it until I heard about this. I'm like, what? Why hasn't this happened before? This seems so obvious. And thank you, Della and Ken and everyone who came together to put this on. My son has been involved with Synergy since 2018. Ken is great. Synergy Theater is great. Sorry I didn't get to go to Murder at the Winery last year, so I'm really hoping to attend the next one.
Yeah, you got to come next time. It'll be
I
great.
will. I'll be the door host. I'll be the victim. I'll be whoever. I just want to be involved. I go to every show. I just do this because I love going to theater and I voluntarily take photos and videos. So of course, trying to figure out how I can sneak into the show, and be a part of it without really being a part of it.
Oh, you're in, Val. I got stuff for you.
Yay.
Val, what you're saying is making me think if you're traveling down the road of improv, like the interstate of improv,
So to speak.
and you're traveling down the road and you're having an awesome road trip, like this is amazing, and you see this sign coming up and it says Diablo Improv Festival, immediately you're thinking, I am stopping, and you veer and pull over because it just makes perfect sense. This is what I'm looking for, right? This is brilliant. I am so excited. Why
Oh, yeah.
haven't we done this before?
Yeah, why have we done this before? Sometimes when you come up with a big idea that seems like this might take a lot of work, it's a 3-day improv festival. It's a lot of organizational skills. Sometimes people think, oh, that's too much to handle, or we're not professionals at that or whatever. I mean, we are professionals, but sometimes people can get discouraged before they really try. And the great thing about this group of people with Ken and with Randy, Jamie, with the Lesher Center has been fantastic, just being open, really open to our ideas. And I love that the Lesher found out about this and really let us run with it. I love that. And I think that we all, the co-producers, I feel that we all have a bit of bravery that it takes to just jump in and just say, we're going to do it. I personally like taking risks like that. Let's try this festival. And some people might think that this is Walnut Creek. It's not Chicago. It's not LA. You know what? It's Walnut Creek. And there's actually a ton of comedy, improv, creativity. There's so much happening in the area, in the region. And I think people need to see that. People might not have even realized that this is here for them. So we're happy to bring it to the surface. It's always been there. We're just bringing it to the surface so more people can find out about it.
What are some of your visions for the event?
Long term, I would love for this to become a community festival where the streets are shut down and we have parades and jugglers. And, you know, we want to do this for the community. We want this to be something people get excited about, maybe something people travel to come do. That's sort of like long-term vision. And short-term, I just want people to show up and show up with an open mind and be willing to try new things. And if you are a seasoned improv person, then welcoming new people who maybe don't know as much. And if you're a new person, making your boundaries just a little bit squishy for the moment. Like, you might want to try something you haven't tried before, and it's going to be a safe place to do that. And it's going to be a safe place to step out of your comfort zone, to meet new people. And I want to see people making friends. I want to see people laughing. I want to see people exchanging phone numbers and say, let's meet up afterwards. Let's have coffee. I want to see people frequenting the businesses nearby and coming back to the Lesher for more shows. Community building is what I would like to see happen with this.
Well, I love to hear you say that. I am looking forward to being able to rub elbows with improvisers that I've heard other improvisers talk about, right? And
yes.
Hopefully some of the incredible talent, including yourself, is maybe shedding and would rub off on me.
Oh, yes. Yes. I love hanging out with quick-witted, funny people because I always find that I'm funnier in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
You feed off that energy. And I would encourage specifically for people to come to the party on Friday night, because you will be able to rub elbows and talk to people and just mix and mingle. So DiabloImprovFestival.org.
Okay. Val, do you already have your ticket for the party?
No, but I'm going to start looking it up now.
Yeah. Come to the party. And then I also think a great thing to do is do a package where you can do a couple of workshops and performances. Getting involved is really great. Actually doing the thing in the workshop where you're doing it with your own voice and your own body, and you're seeing how easy it is or how hard it is. And then watching a performance after and seeing, like, getting tips and points, it means more when you've just done it yourself. People should do the package deal, and they should come to the party, and then you'll get all of it.
Awesome. I have my package deal. Della, how are you feeling in this period of time before the event? I'm sure that you're excited. What are the challenges that you're facing now?
Oh, many feelings. Many feelings. There's an amount of stress that comes from looking at the ticket sales. This was a very big risk on our part because we're producing this. So really, if people have fun, that's all I care about. But we don't know if our investment will pay off. And so there's a little stress about that. There's more decisions that need to be made. There's fun stuff, like I said, like Party planning is fun. Lately, I've been thinking of this type of waiting, this wait and see. It's like farming. We planted the seeds, we watered them, we tended it, we pulled the weeds, we got sun, we got rain, and we're waiting for our harvest to come in and like for our pumpkin patch to grow in October. We hope we get really big pumpkins. This is, I think, how farmers feel when they're just waiting to see if the crop is going to be good this year, and I think it will be. I have high hopes.
Well, you do have a dream team of fellow farmer producers. You want to talk a little bit about them?
Yes. They have so much experience, and we have overlapping skill sets, but we also have each person has specific things that they can bring to the table. Ken can produce a spreadsheet like so fast. It's amazing. Jamie and Randy were talking about the party and they have all these props and things like that. She's like, oh yes, we have high top tables. Oh yes, we have, and I'm like, you just have some high top tables sitting around. That's awesome. And then connections, like Jamie and Randy walked around town and talked to a lot of venues to see where we could have a party. We found a really cool spot and I've been working a lot on the marketing, the design, sending out packets to the performers. This is what you need in order to promote yourself. There's so much. We've gone through so many phases of different things that we had to do, like build the website and get the tickets ready. And everyone's really good.
So picture yourself that day. Everything is going awesome.
Yes.
Tell me where you are, what you're doing, and how is it awesome?
Ooh, I love that. Okay, I'm closing my eyes. So I picture myself in the lobby of the Lusher, and people are starting to come in. And I'm like, welcome to the festival. And everyone's like, hey, where's this? Where's that? And I'm talking to them. And then I always love one of my favorite things in life is when someone that you haven't seen for a long time just surprises you out of the blue. So the door opens and all of a sudden it's like my friend from 10 years ago. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you came. And we hug. And then like another person I haven't seen for 2 years comes and I'm, oh, it's so fantastic. And then they're like, we want to meet your friend. And then at the end of the night, I'm in the limo. We're headed to Los Angeles with the Groundlings and a helicopter whisks us away. But anyway, I think I'm excited about meeting a lot of people in a really fun environment.
I did not anticipate that ending, but that sounds amazing. Wave at me from the helicopter as you take off,
Right.
right?
Yeah.
Val, do you have any questions for Della?
I was enjoying the whole vision of this. I could feel myself there, all the energy at Lesher and me behind my little Sony camcorder trying to capture everything. I think it's going to be great. I really do. I also feel the nerves because you're pioneers here. This is new territory, which I greatly admire. When you were saying you're sort of worried, you're checking ticket sales and such. I remember Ken saying that before Dungeons and Dragons came out. And now no one can get a ticket to that. It's constantly sold out. So I just say, you guys just go for it and it's going to happen.
I think I can speak for Val when I say that the momentum is here. I've noticed it. Val's noticed it. Della, you're probably noticing it as well.
Yes. People are talking. Yeah.
It is the era of improv. It's not as fringe as it once was, I think. Not that it was in some circles like Chicago, some parts of New York, not that it ever was fringe in those pockets, but out on the West Coast, outside of San Francisco, it's spreading. The ripples are spreading. And Walnut Creek at the Lesher Center for the Arts could very well become a hub. I think the stars are aligning. Does that resonate with you?
Yes, I totally agree. It's shocking to me because I keep finding out about new improv troupes like that I didn't know about through doing this. There's so much more than I even knew that's already here and established and happening. And I think this festival is just going to bring it next level. And I do really agree that it's trending. Like the Bay Area is, we are liking improv these days. We're into it. So I'm excited to see where this goes and how it grows, because I totally agree. It has momentum. There's a movement going on here.
What do you think is driving this among people who haven't tried improv or people who have tried improv but maybe have been away for a while? From my perspective, people who have been doing improv for a while are getting re-excited, if that's a thing. So what do you think is driving all of that?
Yes, I'm seeing that as well. The pandemic, people were separated from each other for a while. That was really hard on everyone. People got lonely. And improv was still happening during that time, but a lot of times it was over Zoom. Once we started getting back to doing in-person things, in general, people have been excited about that in a new way. That we're actually in the same room with people and we can actually meet people in person. And I'm also seeing it with improv classes and with comedy shows of young people going there specifically to try and meet new people and to try to have social interactions. I think we spend a lot of time on screen these days and we're rebounding from being locked in our houses with a pandemic, and people want real life experiences and real interactions with people. And improv provides a creative way that anyone can step into it at any moment. You don't need prior training. You just show up to the class. You don't have to do any homework. You just show up and be there and be present, and you will have fun. That's really refreshing, and people need that right now. That's the type of interaction we're looking for.
Yes, more now than ever before, the in-person event, the in-person interaction means so much more to me.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. Because we can tell the difference too. I mean, don't even get me started on AI. That's another thing that's happening in our culture where we're like, is that image real? But if you're in a room with someone doing improv, that is as real as it gets. And you have to be fully present in that moment. And you have to be aware of your real life surroundings, like where you are right now. Even if you're pretending to be a rabbit on the moon, that's what you're doing. That's your reality. You can't hide in improv, really. Even if
No.
you're playing a character, you're present. That's the thing.
Yes. Everyone recognizes that it's very good advice to live in the moment. And yet, our day-to-day lives, moment to moment, constantly pull us out of the present moment, our present situation.
Yes.
Who is
Yes.
across the table from us? Who is in the room with us? We're not there with them. We're in our heads. We're in the future. We're thinking about where we'd rather be.
Yes.
We're missing the
Absolutely.
present moment and the signals that we're getting from our, in quotes, scene partners, right? And
Yes.
we're and our, there our lives go so fast.
Yeah.
Just like
Yeah.
that. We're missing the present moment. This is one of the things that I love about improv. When I'm in a scene with someone, I am there.
Yes.
I feel alive. I am nowhere else. And it feels so good. What about you, Val?
Well, I don't do improv, but
Not yet. I am not giving up, Val.
I totally get what you're saying, and I, as someone who's, I feel like I've watched thousands of shows, it's so true. You have to be there 100%. You're there and you're that character, but you're also yourself. That's the beauty of improv, is you're your best person. You're not an actor, you're just you, and we need you. We need you to be yourself, your awesome self, and bring that to improv and to your group. Which again, why I love Synergy so much, is that they can all improvise together and still keep their individuality. So really, really looking forward to meeting all the people at the festival and seeing what I can learn.
I love that, Val. That's one of the things that is so important about my experience with Synergy Theater is that From the outside, I would say it's easy to look at improv as comedy. You've got to be comedic. You have to make people laugh. You have to act. No, you are enough. Just you, the way you are, just you and your experiences, your perspective is great. And it's precisely what that scene needs. Improv needs you.
Yes, thank you for saying that. I want to echo that and cheer that on. And I want all the listeners to know that. Yes, you are enough. You don't have to be funny. Your life doesn't have to be all neat and tidy. Just come be yourself and be open to the moment. And that is all we need from you. Just be there, be present. You are enough. I love that.
Stella, if you could give advice to your former improvising self, what advice would you give?
Former improvising self. You know what? I think it went well. I'm glad that I got into improv and I'm still learning and growing.
Well, how about this? I can flip it around.
Okay.
We're recording a podcast. Sometime in the future, you may listen back to this episode. Therefore, you have a chance to send your future self advice right now. What would you tell your future self?
I would say, don't worry. If I would free my past self, present self, and future self from anything, is worry. Don't worry. Whatever happens will happen, and you'll be fine. I love that doing improv in the moment, I'm able to like not worry. But sometimes there are times where you're like, oh, should I have said that? And then I'm like, no, get back in the moment. Get back in the moment. Don't edit yourself. Don't worry about if you didn't say it in the right way. Don't edit yourself. Just do it. Don't worry. Hopefully my future self will. Hopefully I'll just be like laughing. Be like, we had the best time, didn't we?
I love that. Della, is there anything else that you think that we should definitely talk about?
DiabloImprovFestival.org. If you have any questions, just contact us. Go to our website and send an email. Join the mailing list. That's another thing. So we can keep in touch with you and announce other improv shows throughout the year. Follow us on social. All those things. to stay in touch.
Val is doing that right now. She's searching it up. Diablo Improv Festival probably already has her ticket to the event. I'm going to have to do that right after this.
Get with it, Sarah. Come on.
All right. Whenever I travel, there's always like, oh, I need to see this statue and this cathedral and this tourist. And you have this checklist. And that's one way of doing things. Checklist. I got to see this, this, and this. But I find that sometimes I have more fun when I just walk down a street and be like, that cafe looks interesting. Well, let's talk to that person. And I think with the festival, can be a mix of both. Yes, you do need to get tickets and you do need to sign up for your classes. But also, I think you need to come on with an open mind. We don't know what scenes are going to happen. Improv is just that. You never know what kind of character you're going to play. You never know what suggestion your scene partner might make. So have a plan, but be flexible and be willing to just jump into the moment.
Yes. Get your tickets, check all those boxes. And then when you get there, you could pretend to be 4 years old and look for some free ice cream.
Yes. Yes, definitely. See if I can make that happen.
Della, thank you so much for your time. Where can people find more information about you?
My company is called DKW Productions. That is my website. I'm on Instagram as well. If you want to follow my personal account, it's Insta Della Watson. And then DKW_experience is my company's Instagram. And come talk to me at the festival. If you want to get coffee, let's do it. I have a goal this year of I want to meet 100 new people. So be one of my 100.
I like coffee. Della?
Yes, let's do it.
Della, again, thank you so much. I can't wait. Val, also can't wait. Yes?
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Della.
Yes, thank you. This has been so fun.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's our show. If you think improv sounds like fun, it is. If you think you'd like to try improv, it's easy. Just go to synergytheater.com and click on School of Improv. Synergy Theater offers beginner, advanced, and master classes. Synergy Theater is also on Facebook. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast. Your support makes a difference. Synergy Theater is a 501c3 tax-deductible nonprofit that depends on the participation of current and future star supporters and improvisers like you. Thank you.